word, Father, many miracles are manifesting right now in life because of the living word of God. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister that word. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, I'll just begin to read at first verse. Matter of fact, I'll begin at verse 1. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And I'll go ahead and read verse 4. It says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. But I want to go back to verse 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And my subject this morning is appreciating our salvation. Appreciating our salvation. Excuse me, let me get a swallow of water here. Hallelujah. Now, turning your Bibles, having said that, turning your Bibles to the book of Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, before I read that, I want to say this to you, that I was reading the Word of God the other evening, and we should read the Word, right? We should read the Word. We should study the Word of God. We should read the Word of God with an open heart. And as I was reading the Word of God, some verses, which I'm going to read to you, just jumped out at me, you know. And I knew that I was supposed to minister along that line. Now, let me make something very, very clear to you. I study the Word of God to study the Word of God, to receive and to grow and to build my faith and so forth. There are times when I'm in the Word of God, when I'm studying and preparing for a message, but I have my own study time. You understand what I'm saying? I don't. Every time I pick up my Bible, I'm not picking up my Bible because I'm preparing to preach. I'm picking up my Bible and reading my Bible because I'm building myself up spiritually. You understand? Amen. As a preacher, we should never open our Bibles all the time just to find a message. See? No, we need to study the Word of God so that we can grow into things of God. But sometimes, though, in the process of our study, you know, you just know on the inside of you, hey, this, I need to take this further. I need to share this with the folks. I need to preach this. And you know, you know it. So I don't preach everything I read because, again, like I say, I'm doing it for my edification, to build myself up spiritually. Amen. because I'm growing spiritually like everybody else. But now, having said that, in Colossians chapter 1, I want you to drop down to I'll tell you what, I'm going to read. I'll let you know where I'm going to pick it up at, but I want to read this because I know this will bless you. It always blesses me when I read these prayers that Paul prayed for the church. So I'm going to begin at verse 9, and then I'm going on down through verse 12. But it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." I tell you what, folks, I think I want that more than anything else, just to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, that I may please him during my time here on this earth. I hope you feel the same way. Amen. I hope you have a heart to please God and to bring glory to his name. But anyway, say, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." Don't you see that word, fully pleasing him? I don't want to please him part-time. Amen. I want to fully please him. I don't want to just go halfway. "Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy." Now, verse 12 is where I intended to begin, but we'll go ahead and begin there and start there now. It says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 14 says that, verse 13 says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, appreciating our salvation, we need to understand some things, and we can see them clearly in the Word of God. You know, I appreciate the fact that I'm saved. I appreciate the fact that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've been healed. I appreciate the fact that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I could go on and on and on. And let me tell you something. I appreciate the fact that I have been delivered from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Glory be to God. And I want to talk about darkness. I want to talk about Satan himself for few moments. I don't know how far into this I'll get, but we'll go as far as we can, and if the Lord say the same, we'll pick it up another time. But I want you to understand something. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, you have been, not going to be, you have been delivered from the power of darkness. Why don't you go ahead and tell yourself that? Tell yourself that again, just in case you didn't hear it. Now tell the devil that. Hallelujah. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We are no longer controlled by darkness. Or we shouldn't be. Hallelujah. You still here with me? We have to understand something. And you know, I've been around a long time. I've been saved a long time. Praise the name of the Lord, and I don't regret a second of it. I don't regret a second of my walking with the Lord. But I've heard a lot, seen a lot over the many years that I've been born again. I've had the experience of fellowshipping with different groups over the years when I was in service and so forth. And so you see a lot of things, you hear a lot of things. And of course, thank God I've had the blessed opportunity to grow and spiritually mature over those years. But I used to believe not based on the Word of God, but based on what I heard other folks say, but I come to find out that that's not the way it is. But I've heard people say, you know, the devil's in hell, and you know, I've seen people try to cast out devils, and they say, go on back to hell where the devil is. You know, come out of this person and go on back to hell, where the devil and his demons are, and so forth. And I want to tell you, he ain't there. Not yet, anyway. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if it embarrass you, you certainly don't have to raise your hand, because I'm not here to embarrass. But did any of you at one time think that the devil was in hell? Raise your hand if you did. Yeah. I got news for you. He's not there yet, and I can back it up with the Word. Hallelujah. He's not there yet. He's going. He's going to the lake of fire. And he will be thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years during the millennium. But if he was already there, you and I would have no problems. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. Hope you got your Bibles. In Ephesians chapter 6, I'll begin reading at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now see, this is what we deal with. This is who we deal with. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Even when flesh and blood give you a tough time and a hard time, they're influenced by the devil. You follow me? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of what? Against what? The rulers of the darkness, finish it, of this age. You see that? I said, do you see that? Against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, let me clarify that for you. The devil is not in up in the third heaven with God, because he's wicked and evil, and nothing wicked and evil is allowed up there. When it talks about the heavenly places, it's talking about under heaven. Let me say this, there are three heavens. Of course, we know that there's the atmospheric heaven, and then there is what we might call stellar heaven, or outer space, and then there's the third heaven. That's where God is. Paul talked about that. He said, I was taken up to the third heaven. He didn't say anything about being taken up to Mars. He didn't say anything about being taken up to any of the other planets. He said, I was taken up to the third heaven. See, everything else below the third heaven is going to, one day God's going to destroy it all. You know, we got stuff laying around on the moon up there. We got stuff laying around on Mars. And maybe some other planets. You understand? That things that came from Earth. Nothing is going to be left untouched on that day when Jesus destroys it all, recreates it again. John said, I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth. Oh, that's enough to shout right there. Glory to God. And none of it will smell like the devil. Hallelujah. Do you know folk can fly up to the moon, which they've been to the moon, and they're talking about going to Mars? I mean, I'm happy right here on the ground. But do you know that folk, if they fly to the moon, do you know they can curse, swear, lie? Even on the moon. They can do it. When they get to Mars, they can do the same thing. But the Bible tells us that in chapter 6, verse 12 again, says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Now, turn backwards to the second chapter of Ephesians. I want you to understand something about the devil, because, see, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, right? And listen what it says, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Thank you, Jesus. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the what? According to what? Who? Say that again. Didn't say anything about according to the devil, which is in hell. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air, listen to this, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And it goes on to say, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Let me tell you something. The devil is very much alive. Hear me. The devil and his influence is very much alive, and he is working through mankind. Matter of fact, it's mankind that offers, listen to this, it's mankind that offers him his greatest degree of expression. Jesus sent some devils into the pig, a herd of swine. The pig said, enough of this. They went and drowned themselves. But there's nothing the devil can do. He's very limited to what he can do in an animal. But he can do all kind of things with human beings. Because we're able to think, we're able to reason. Not only that, this is what they really love. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And the devil wants to thumb his nose up at God every chance he gets. Every time he takes one that God created, because we already know it's not God's will that any should perish. You hear me? Let me say that again. It is not God's will that any should perish. It's not God's will that any should be lost. But here's the great thing about it. It's not God's will for us to be lost, any of us to be lost, but it's our decision to make. It's our decision to make. We can choose God or we can reject him. Don't you ever forget that the devil is working, and I got in on the very tail end of it, but the group was meeting today and concerning some of our young folks and some future things that we will be doing. But it's amazing how the enemy, and folks, we are living in the last of the last of the last days. It's amazing what the enemy is coming up with to steal your children from you. I mean, we turn on the news. There are school systems right now that want to tell your children what to do. They don't want you as parents to have anything to do with it. They don't want you to have any say-so over what your child learned. You still here? They got all kind of crazy experiments going on. Some of them we know about, some we do not. But can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? I hope you've been listening to my messages over the past couple of years or even beyond that. Whatever you do, get close to God. Whatever you do, get close to God. Young people, I want to say this to you. Teenagers, whatever you do, get close to God. Get close to God. This is what blessed me so much. And you've heard me talk about it, and I think it might have been last week I talked to you about it, especially Isaiah chapter 60, where God took me there over time and time and time again. This has been a number of years back, but he wanted me to get this in my spirit, you know, about the darkness that's coming up upon the earth and gross darkness to people, Isaiah chapter 60. But here's what's so good. Are y'all listening to me? It is dark out there, and it is getting darker, but it's your responsibility to come to the light. You hear me? I'm talking to adults, and I'm talking to young people alike. It's you've got to take the initiative. Say, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to put my face in the Word of God. I'm going to come to church where I can hear the uncompromised. Everybody say uncompromised. Where I can hear the uncompromised Word of God, the living Word of God, the life-changing Word of God, not just entertainment, but the life-changing Word of God. But the good thing about it is, if there was no church, there could be no rapture, no catching away. When Jesus come back, there are going to be fired up people, God-loving people on this earth. Read 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter. He's coming back for his church, and his church is going to be here. I know it looks dark, but God's got his people. And listen to me, listen, every chance we get as a child of God, let's rob hell. People looking for answers. People looking for answers. And they won't find real peace anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. Are you still here? Let me say it again. You will not find peace, not true peace, anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But when Jesus comes back, the church will be caught up. Well, first, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those of us, if we're still here, who are alive on earth, shall be caught up with him. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. And I know that the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with each and every one of you right now that's listening to me. He's dealing with you to get closer to him, not follow the crowd, but follow his word. Not follow the crowd, but follow his word. The broad way leads to destruction, but the narrow path leads you to Christ Jesus. That's the path of the Word of God. Oh, are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. I got excited. Where did I start reading? Somebody tell me. Verse 3. All right. But we see in verse 2 of Ephesians 2 that, well, let me read it again, verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, and we did, didn't we? According to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now work in the sons of disobedience. My point is, again, the devil is at work right here on this earth. Hallelujah. In Job chapter 1 and in Job chapter 2, God asked the devil, "What are you up to?" What did he say? "I'm going what? To and fro throughout the earth." He still is. Word of God tells us he's going about seeking whom he may devour. He can't do that if he's in hell. And when he's thrown in the bottomless pit for a thousand years, which would be the millennium, there's going to be total peace on earth. Absolute peace on earth. So you have to understand, we've been delivered from his power. We've been delivered from his power. Further proof is the Garden of Eden. Who came to Eve to tell her God had lied to her? The devil. The serpent? The devil. Told her, "If you eat, you're not going to die. God's lying to you." That's what he told her. The devil's a mean devil, isn't he? Why do you reckon some folk want to serve him? What they don't understand is those are serving him. He's destroying them. He may give them a few material things. Remember Jesus Christ when he was on earth in Luke chapter 4? Matter of fact, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Let me turn there too. And I know probably most of you have heard me preach this before, but God just laid it on me strong, and I want to be obedient. I just begin reading in verse 1, Luke 4, 1. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain," you see that? "And did what? Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.'" Now, first time I heard this story was in a Bible study that I was a part of when I was in service. And the person teaching it, I guess, was pretty young in the Lord too. And he said, "You know, the devil told Jesus that he would give him all that, but he's just a liar, you know. He's just a liar. He didn't have it to give. No, that's not right. That's not right. Now, I'm not being mean here, but let me explain what I'm saying. They told me, or told us that we're in the Bible study, Jesus said the devil is a liar, okay, and he's the father of lies. Let me go ahead and get that. He is a liar, and he's the father of lies. But can I say this? Sometimes he tell the truth. This is one time he did. Not because he's righteous either. Now, let's go back there. Verse 6 again. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." The situation is, and I know some of you know this already, how could he say, tell Jesus, the Son of God, that if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this, because it had been delivered to me? First of all, let me say, thank God Jesus didn't worship the devil. Had he done that, it was over. Game over. Game over. Hallelujah. But I have to think, this dude's something else. If you can call him a dude, I don't know what you want to call him. This devil. He's going to ask the Son of God, who is God, to worship him, a fallen being? Think about that for a moment. That lets you know what type of attitude he has, and he hadn't changed. He's still full of himself. Oh, can I throw something else in while I'm on the subject? If you're full of yourself, you might want to change. You might want to change in a hurry. If you think you all that, you better change, because you're not. I am who I am by the grace of God. So are you. This fella had a high-ranking position with God. And you've heard me tell you this before. I believe he was in charge of the praise and worship. But he had high responsibility. He had a high place with God. How do you know that, Pastor? One-third of the angelic host chose to follow him. You don't do that without, you don't follow anyone that doesn't have any influence. They followed him. Thank God there's two-thirds left. There's still more for us than it is for them. And the Word of God tells us that pride was found in him. He's just full of himself. He just got caught up with himself. And and he wanted to be like the Most High. That's the reason jealousy is such a bad thing. That's the reason pride is a terrible thing. I've seen the Word of God say one of the things that God really hates is a proud look. A proud look says, I'm better than you are. A proud look says, I am somebody. God hates that attitude. What God wants is humility. God wants us to say, I am what I am. I am what I am by God's grace. And without God's grace, I would be nothing. Are you still here? Got kicked out of heaven. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall as lightning. Boy, got out of there fast, didn't he? He got the left foot of fellowship. But even in the state that he's in now, he's still full of pride. His nature hadn't changed. He's still full of pride. He's arrogant. And it's all about him. And he still wants to be worshiped. You hear me? He still wants to be worshiped. He tried to get Jesus to worship. That didn't worship him. That didn't work. But you know what? He wants you to worship him. He still wants to be worshiped. His attitude hadn't changed. It's still nasty. But guess what? You and I have been delivered from his power. You hear me? We have been delivered from his power. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. I'm not going to get too much further here. We'll come back to this. But I said that the devil's not in hell, and he's not. But it was created for him. Hell, the lake of fire, was created for him. Turn in your Bible. Matter of fact, for the sake of time, they can just put it on the screen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 25, 41. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I'll go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 25. All right, Matthew 25. Verse 41, Jesus is teaching here. I'm just going to jump right in the middle of this. It says, and Jesus is speaking here, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. Finish that verse. Prepared for who? Prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for man. Mankind was not supposed to be going there. You still here? Man was not supposed to be going there. But man chose to reject Jesus Christ. They can't go to heaven. That's the only other place left. And even the rich man lifted up his eyes, talking to Abraham, asking for some water for his burning tongue. Think about it, folks. And I'm closing now, wherever the musicians are. I'm closing. But think about it for a moment. The folk that go to hell are going to a place they're not even supposed to be. That's just like moving into an apartment that has 100 other people in it. None of you are supposed to be there, therefore there are no accommodations for you. Just park wherever you can. But the only thing about hell, there's going to be suffering. It's not a place of comfort. And let me tell you something. A lot of pastors, a lot of ministers will not preach on hell because they see it as negative. Well, if that's the case, boy, Jesus sure was negative because he talked about it. And I'm talking about it because I don't want you to go there. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't want folk to go there. It's not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, some people think, well, if I don't like it, you know, I'll do something else. No, you won't. And can I say something else, especially to the guys? There will not be a bunch of big-breasted, naked women with fans down there to fan you, feeding you grapes. Not happening. You will not be kicking back with your buddies, drinking beer and being fanned by some beautiful woman. Hell is a place of torment. And the sad thing about it, everybody that don't know Jesus is going there, and that includes beautiful women too. They won't be so beautiful once they get there. Beauty would be the last thing on their mind. Oh, let's tell them about Jesus, folks. Hallelujah. They need to be delivered from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, I could go on, but I'm going to quit. Hallelujah. I've got another place I've got to be, so I'm getting ready to close this out. But before I do, I want to speak to our viewing audience, ask you a question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Well, I got good news for you. Jesus came and he died for you.